Well, how much did Robertson say that fiddle player was going to cost us?
Well, you mean that cello player? Well, we can get him for $200.
Oh, Dad, Bernie, Zeb, you must be crazy. What? That singer's going to cost us $500, and the fiddle player $200. That's $700 right there.
Mm.
We can't run no broadcasting station if it costs us that much to put on programs.
Yes, but we don't have to pay for them. Well, that is, exactly.
Well, how do you mean we don't?
Well, Hector says if we get up a good program, we can get a sponsor for it.
Oh, no, sir, no, sirree, that settles it. Hold that darn business is off. I ain't going to get no sponsor.
Well, now, wait a second.
I won't wait. The whole thing's off, I tell you. Get a hold of that fellow Robertson right away and tell him he's fired. Tell him we ain't going to have no radio station.
Yes, but now, listen. Listen,
you were talking for taking it. It's all off. Quit talking. We're spending enough money for singers and fiddle players on this program without getting no sponsor on it.
Oh, but consonant, the sponsor pays for it.
Pays for what?
Pays for the program. We get up good programs and then sell them to the sponsors. We make a profit on every program we broadcast. You don't think I'd be spending all this money just for nothing, do you?
You mean the sponsors pay for all our programs?
Why, certainly.
They must be dad darn fond listening to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where do they live?
Mm-hmm. Who lives?
Mr. and Mrs. Sponsor.
Oh, sponsors are different people. You see, the idea is that...
Howdy,
Professor Thistlewaite.
How do you do, Professor? Mr. Winterbottom,
yes.
You know, I've just had an idea for your big broadcast.
How much is it going to cost?
I don't imagine that it will cost anything. It's one of the advantages. I'm sure it will, really be sensational.
Mm. Well, what is it, Professor?
Well, you know, it's quite a common thing for radio stations to broadcast mystery stories.
Mm.
And the idea I have is a mystery story. It's called Payment Demanded. And the payment demanded is $50,000.
Oh, sure. Where are you going to find anybody with $50,000 these days?
That's the mystery.
No. The victim has the money. He's a millionaire. Now, in addition to a victim, we must have a culprit.
We must, huh?
Yes, and that's what I want to talk to you about. You see, in this case...
Yes, I see. I see that all right, but I don't know, Professor, what we can do about it. You suppose anybody in town has got a culprit? Even a second-hand culprit will do.
A culprit isn't a thing. It's a person. The person who is guilty of the crime.
Mm.
And in this particular case, I don't know who that person is, because I plan to dramatize a true story. The disappearance of Walter Guest. He's the victim.
Who is the Professor?
Guest.
Jones.
No, man. No, Guest.
Black.
The man's name? Chucks. I give up.
Yes, I do too. And now here's one for you, Professor. What's the difference?
I'm not telling riddles. I'm telling you the man's name.
Well, Dad, dang it, what is his name?
Yes, come to point, Professor. Shakes, we've got work to do around here. What is his name?
Guest.
Say, now, look here, Professor.
His name is Guest. Walter Guest. The millionaire who disappeared. Haven't you been reading about it in the newspaper?
Oh, him. Yes, certainly. I've been reading about it.
Yes. It's the story of his disappearance that I'm going to dramatize. I've checked every newspaper article on the subject that I've come across. And I'm quite sure I have all the facts. Now, the play opens in Mr. Guest's home in Florida. The phone is ringing, calling him on...
I don't hear it.
Of course you don't. Calling him on...
Yes, of course you don't, Ted. This phone's ringing in Florida.
Oh, it isn't.
Oh, why, Professor, you just said it was.
I know. But that isn't the reason Mr. Peters doesn't hear it. This is a fictitious phone. Calling him...
You think it's a dad damn smart, Zeb? He don't even know a fictitious phone ain't got no bell on it.
I know that it ain't got no bell.
Quite right.
Well, of course not. Of course not. It's got a buzzer.
Precisely. It has a...
Yes.
No, it hasn't a buzzer.
It hasn't.
Calling...
How's that?
Buzzer. Calling the millionaire on the phone is...
Well, you don't need to be so dad damn persnickety about it. I hear what you said, just calling him on the phone.
Well, what?
A buzzer.
Oh, but how could a buzzer call a man on the phone?
Shep, don't ask me. You're the one who's making up the story, not me.
Well, it can't.
It can't, huh?
No.
Well, now, just a minute. That just about lets the buzzard out, doesn't it?
Will you please omit the reference to a buzzard and allow me to get on?
Get on a buzzard?
Get on with the story. Now, the millionaire's butler answers the phone. Over the wire comes a voice. There is a threat in every tone. Menace in every...
What, Professor?
Menace in...
Was somebody sick?
No one is sick.
Well, then, what is the medicine for?
I said menace. minute on the phone.
How many of them?
How many what?
How many men is on the phone?
There aren't any men.
Well, it shakes your life, Professor. There must be someone on the phone.
I said...
Maybe it's just the wrong number.
I said minute. A threat. There was a threatening voice on the phone. And the voice demands a draft for $50,000. And the butler...
A draft.
The butler is badly frightened. He hangs up and reports to Mr. Guest. But Mr. Guest refuses to be allowed. He ridicules the butler. Sneers, scoffs.
Just a second, Professor. What you mean is he sneezes and coughs.
Look, he doesn't sneeze and cough. Why should he sneeze and cough?
Because he's caught cold, I reckon.
But where on earth would he catch cold?
In that there draft.
What he ought to do, Professor, is take a hot bath, a good dose of box swimming syrup, and send him in and hop into bed.
That'll break him up a cold overnight.
Now, see here. You aren't getting this at all. A voice came over the phone warning Mr. Guest that if he didn't pay $50,000, something terrible would happen to him.
Oh, yes, I see.
Well, he paid no attention to that warning, and the next morning he caught the
cold.
He didn't catch cold.
Well, land of Goshen, then what did he catch? Colic or something?
He caught an airplane for New York City. He arrived at the airport there, and that was the last ever seen of him.
Well, is that all?
Yes.
Well, where does laugh come in?
Laugh? Yes. Laugh?
Oh, shut. I know a better story than that. It seems there are two Irish fellas that went to a farmhouse.
But, this isn't a human story. It's an actual happening. It's an account of the disappearance of Mr. Walter Guest. And I've dramatized it. Made a radio play out of it for your big broadcast.
Oh, yes. You mean a sort of play, eh?
Yes, that's it. Now, here is the manuscript. I thought that perhaps you and Mr. Peters might play two of the parts, and I'd play the other one, the part of Mr. Guest.
What part do I take?
Well, I rather fancy that you would make a good butler, Mr. Peters, and Mr. Winterbottom could take the part of the voice on the phone.
Yes, I reckon we could do that all right.
Then that's excellent. I'll leave the manuscript with you to give you an opportunity to glance over your life.
Well, thank you, Professor. This is a damn good idea.
Oh, don't mention it. Well, I'll be getting along then. Goodbye.
So long, Professor.
So long, Professor. Say, Zeb, what's these Dad Dern radio plays like, anyhow?
Why, they're sort of... Oh, gosh, Monty, ain't you never hear a radio play? Oh, wait a second. I'll turn on the radio here. There might be one on right now.
And so did we. The Wick Sportwear Company bring you another famous athlete. This time, a noted tennis player, Mr. Ebb Peters of Corn Cellar.
By the Ginger River.
Here he is.
They wanted me to speak on the radio today. They wanted me to give a message to you people. Well, I'll give you a message. Within 10 days, my comrades and I are going to overthrow this government.
What?
We're going to blow up the whole nation.
Mr. Peters, this is you.
Yes, blow up the whole nation.
Ed, did you hear that?
It's a Dad Dern lie. I never said it.